As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome to Overtime. Happy Easter to our listening audience. And man, we thank our good folks at Rood providing Dr. Holder. Now, he was a treat. We didn't get to everything we wanted to get to, retired numbers, but you and I can get to that as well. Ben Standing, bottom of the hour, will join us. Gotta love Prime and retiring Shedeur Sanders' number at the spring game. And then, and it's, I don't know, I don't pay that much attention to retired numbers. I didn't think it happened instantly. I thought it was more of a gap, but I guess it can be anytime you want it to be. And when you look at a program like Colorado, who has won a national championship and has had Heisman Trophy winner, I mean, they're not like some mid-major. They may have fallen on some hard times, but it's a program that has been to the mountaintop. So I think it rubs some people the wrong way, which things are going to do. But I don't think it now, as I look at it, if the further review, I go, okay, it's what power does. Hunter, no problem. Shedeur, and what Shedeur did under the circumstances of having the one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen, ever, to do what he did under those circumstances is, to me, on par. It's what Hunter did. It's that difficult. And all I can say is that those of you that have played quarterback, I don't care if it was on Pee Wee Pop Warner football, anybody that's ever been under center and dropped back and had no time to throw and getting crushed, this is what this young man did. And to get the results he got under those circumstances, I'm not mad at him at all. So I have to ask you, Brother Strober, what was your reaction initially when you saw and heard that Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter's numbers would be retired at Colorado?
I wasn't upset about Travis Hunter getting his number retired. You know, two-way player, pivotal part of the turnaround of that program that was through some really tough times. Heisman Trophy winner, of course. Yeah, that's warranted. That's deserved. Shedeur, though, because if you just think back about Colorado football and its history, how do we not have a retired jersey for Mr. I don't want to run the damn football, but I have the school rushing record, Eric Bieniemy? How do we not have his jersey retired in this scenario? I think there's a lot of all-time great players that went to Colorado that are kind of getting the shaft in this situation right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Lou said, things that make you want to go, And that's why we do what we do. And the MGM National Listener Line, we throw it out there to you. A couple of different things. If you want to take a bite at it, let's do that. I understand we have a canine on the line. This Jonesy?
Yeah, Jones, what's going on, Doc?
Hey,
happy
man.
Happy Easter to you, first of all.
Happy Easter to you. Yes. Fellowship, man.
I got a breakfast crew rolling with me. Yes, indeed. Say hello, breakfast crew. Say good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Yes, indeed. If you're doing signs the same, man, I think, you know, for a quarterback who was unable to operate without a decent line, I just imagine him with the line and what he can do, the damage he can do to a defense. But these things, we're going to find out very soon. And I'm kind of glad. Also, it's been a whole lot of issues about the same Deion being involved with the situation. I want Deion to be involved. I mean, what was he saying when Archie was involved with the Manning brothers? You know what I'm saying? When they went to where they went to Kelsey, Eli. He was supposed to go to San Diego, never made it to San Diego. He ends up in New York, and guess what? The kid winds up with two Super Bowl rings on the face. So, yeah, these guys know what they're doing. And I'm glad, you know, that they're kind of involved with their kids. Yes, I want Deion to be involved with Shedeur. Yes, I don't want him to go to a rotten team like the Browns, and then next thing you know, I mean, he's fugazi for some odd reason. No, he's not fugazi. We want to see what he's got. Other than that, man, I'm just looking in on what we get, what we're building here, because I'm looking for the special season. And the rest of the day is all about Easter and WrestleMania, Doc. And I'm out.
Absolutely. Appreciate that, man. And Easter and WrestleMania, absolutely. And I got an update. My sister must have fallen asleep on that because I got an update from her, and then bingo, she went dark on me. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And understand, we've got a good doctor, Dr. Sabah. Welcome home.
Hey there, Doc. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I'm on the road going to the beach today because, you know, I didn't go last weekend because I was thinking Bryson DeChambeau was going to come through for me. But instead, he became Bryson DeChambeau, as Skip Bayless calls him. I thought that was a good nickname. Upset me. But that's the agony of sports. It goes along with the happiness of victory. So
yeah,
we'll move on.
Well,
yes, sir.
Yeah, good for Rory.
So yes. Yeah, well, not really. I don't like that man. Anyway, I don't want to go there. I gotta let that go. All right. So I was shout out to Jonesy, by the way, fellow K-9. I disagree with him as far as parents being involved with these professional athletes, but you know that's why this is great radio. We are allowed to disagree and still love each other.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about the Mount Rushmore if I could on the places I've been to. I sent you a video.
What's your Mount Rushmore?
My number one is Fenway Park. I sent you a video of me, my daughter, my son signing the dugout back in 2016. It's amazing how little they were, but we didn't sign the dugout, Mike.
2011.
I thought it was 2016. Whatever. Anyhow, 2011. We signed the dugout, and that was I love that. I've been there probably four or five times watching games. My second one is going to be the Dean Dome, obviously, you know, Tar Heel. My third one is the TD Garden, where we watched Golden State beat the Celtics a few years ago in Game 6, where Steph Curry beat the South. That was awesome. And I'm having, my fourth one is sort of a distant fourth, though I enjoyed going there, and the whole venue was the Golden State Arena, but it's their old one. So I don't know how the new one
is.
It might be better. But I went to the Oakland one, and that was amazing. They did, like, the fire, like a big volcano erupting at the beginning of the game where they introduced the players. It was this whole pyrotechno thing. It was really neat. And they had the most amazing popcorn. I've been trying to find that popcorn on the East Coast. I cannot find it. It was so good. And so those are my Mount Rushmores. But Fenway Park, by far, is number one.
I'm happy. Thank you, Sabah. I'm glad that I got to go for the All-Star game. Thank you for that. Happy Easter to Fenway Park. And it was amazing. The seats were so uncomfortable for me. Obviously, when they built that, a guy 6'4" would have been like Wilt Chamberlain. It was the most uncomfortable I've ever been in my life. But other than that, yeah, you could feel the history. Mark out in Landover Hills, welcome home.
Happy Easter, Doc.
Yes, so, Marco.
Hey, man, I just wanted to chime in and tell something to Ben, and you might remember this too, and it's somebody that's got a similar name. And I appreciate you bringing up that dunk over Cooper, but I will tell you, when he played, when the doctor was operating in Philadelphia, but even before that, man, some of those dunks he had when he was playing with Billy Paltz and Larry Keenan for the Nets, buddy, were absolutely unbelievable. And then also some of the exhibition games. And when he was a younger man, and I bet he can still do it now after hearing talk the other day about he hadn't been challenged yet. They got, these young guys got a long way to go to catch Dr. J. And also, Mark, Doc, I wanted to say I love it when you have Lou Holder on. He is such a good guy. And, man, he is 100% right. It made me think of our friend from Texas A&I. And if you can ever draft anybody in the ballpark with that gentleman, you should do it because, man, you win with defense, Doc, and in the trenches, just like you know, buddy, because you were in those trenches with the hand in the dirt, brother. And, hey, take care of yourself, Doc. And like I said, happy Easter to all. And, hey, man, I'll get off here, Doc, because I know you guys are busy. And take care of yourself, Doc, and be safe, buddy.
Thank you. You know, I love having Mark, man. Mark is an uplifter. You know, certain people, just the tone of his voice, and you know things are getting better and better and better. So, boy, we got a little thump on that. You know, it's not fair for you, but I can't, I guess, and I'll give you another 10 years, Brother Strober, and you will have your Mount Rushmore. But that's the beauty about it. It builds. Because we were traveling, and again, we had Coach Thompson, and we were doing NBA, a lot of NBA. We got to go to those arenas. I mean, and see those. We're up in Golden State. I think where Saban's mentioning is where I think the dunk were the first dunk contests, the craziest ones that I saw was in that arena. These arenas, but the older, like Wrigley, awesome to see it and to be around it. I think the older the venue that survives it, like Yankee Stadium, I never got to go inside Yankee Stadium.
The old one?
The old one. I wanted to get to Montreal because I wanted to be in to feel that.
Yeah.
That was a goal. Never got to that.
I've only been in the new one for a football game, Doc. I saw Maryland playing the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was cool. But just being in some of those stadiums, I know I'm going in Green Bay, I had the feeling of that. The purple, the old, and I'm glad it's gone, but before Minnesota, being that in that stadium outdoors, cold as ever been in my life. Some of these venues, you're glad they're gone because they improved them and they put domes on them, those that you wanted to have domes on them, but like the old Garden, I couldn't remember.
We've got another Mount Rushmore that I've been sent in right here, and I'm going to read it off to you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Craig Burke, better known as CB, longtime listener of the program, listening in right now.
Is he a Terp?
He is not a Terp, former Towson Tiger, but season ticket holder of the Commanders and the Redskins for longest time, at least himself for the last 30 years. He's taken me to plenty of games. I tailgate with him often. He says RFK, Camden Yards, Wrigley Field, and then Capitol Center, watching Big E and Wes being three finals in 5 years, ultimately winning one in 78.
I'll tell you what, going to Memorial, watching the O's, I appreciate that. That meant a lot, man. That was because I just love baseball to that point where, and you know what? Big Tony, he just sent me a screenshot. Well, it's not his, somebody else's, from Fenway Park, 2006 Blue Jays. I'm sure that it wasn't his, but Fenway's gotten probably, he's saying, he's actually got a picture. Let me correct myself. With oil can boy. Okay. You know what? I'll stand corrected. Big Tony was at Fenway. Fenway could have probably win this, believe it or not, and I would have not predicted that before we started it. But we had more Fenway references, and we're not done yet. We still got time to go. Let's take a break on that. Will Fenway Park end up getting more number one votes here on the Mount Rushmore of sporting venues, courtesy of Dr. Holder and things that make you go, hmm. 11:20 in the nation's capital. Spirited day here on an Easter Sunday. And shout out to Brother Holder who made Sunrise Sunday. A lot of you made Sunrise Sunday. Been there and done that. It's been quite topical. We're prejudiced here. We want our home team to be victorious. Not just one, but all of them. All of them to win. I didn't get your take on the Mystics with three number one picks.
Oh, man.
I thought that was...
I've got some opinions on the Mystic situation, and it's somewhat personal for me, okay?
Okay.
Because
tease me no longer.
The Mystics have hurt me again. And not to say that they didn't draft super talented players, and I completely understand what they are doing right now. And I wish I could have brought this up with Lou, because he'd have some choice words about this situation. Mm-hmm. How can we possibly pass on Cheyenne Sellers? How does she fall to the second round in the fifth pick? I know the knee injury has been a thing, but okay. That seemed like such an easy decision. She's got the fan base already in this area. She'll put butts in the seats. She's tough, gritty, uber-talented player. She knows what it takes to win. I think she would have been such a home run pick for the Mystics, and they ultimately didn't make that choice, and it disappointed me. It really did.
It's not the first time someone has gone against hometown or someone who thinks logically should be. It did it with Reese. And again, as I do now with the Commanders, and now they've got new GM, new administration, you got to trust the flow or not. You mentioned an injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you just gloss over.
I agree. I think, however,
you just can't.
She played through, the injury throughout the entire year. She missed a couple of games here and there, but
no, I understand that. I understand that. But it's just like one of the companies that I didn't grow up with, Carfax. And most of my cars were all used. What a difference it makes if you know that your purchase has been totaled or not, or been in a wreck or not. We can't say that it doesn't matter. I think it does matter if you're on the purchasing side of it. And who's determined what impact matters and how long a body part will be? Do you want someone who's had a major injury or not? I'm just saying. I think all of those things mm-hmm. are up for discussion.
And that's
I'm not saying somebody's right or wrong, but I do think it has to be brought up for discussion.
And that's exactly why I said it was a personal thing for me, because
right, no, you're not wrong to do that.
I understand.
You're
completely.
Not wrong to do that. I love the passion in it.
Yeah.
But we have to figure out, are we hometown or trying to be big time? That's the difference between being country and being city. Because me, with three ones, all I was thinking about, because I heard, Paige Becker, heard about that, because Craig Hoffman, he kind of threw it out there, and I trust Craig to do his, he's going to do his due diligence. Could she have been here? Was there a possibility? When you load up and get two or three multiple picks, I'd have been crazy enough to try to push my chips in for one particular game-changing, program-changing person. That might not have been the right thing to do, because they got people in three different positions manned it down with youth, length, skill set. They did the whole thing. And they're building for the future, building a foundation. But that's what makes all of this great. How'd we start the show off? Talking about we're now 29th, and we're trying to get comfortable with it. We're trying to get comfortable with it because we don't know what it's like. We haven't been here in such a long time. We're used to being terrible and drafting early and actually wallowing in it, because that's all we knew. We have to get used to being good again.
Yep. We don't want to have to be rooting for our team to lose at the end of the season, because last year, in the final year of Ron, of course, that Jets game, I know me and plenty of other Commanders fans are so thankful for the leg of Greg Zuerlein for helping us lose a game to get our quarterback. I mean, but I don't want to have to do that again. I wanted that to be the last time I had to root against my team.
Exactly.
Because it's a terrible feeling.
It sucks. And I just feel bad for all of you young people that have had to go through as much as I can with him. Love Big L. He's been tortured. Because when you're a trash talker like he is, and your team is awful, you take a beating.
He couldn't believe it. I think after that Dallas game, I feel like that game this year broke his soul.
Oh, the home loss?
Yeah, because I feel like...
I've been so used to taking those hits. That one, you should never get caught off guard. But I kind of got caught off guard. And I mentioned it to you. When I walked in the arena, the stadium, and saw them in white, I said, what? You mean, I love our people. I think they're really smart and all that. You didn't put them in that god-awful blue that they hate? You gave them a reason to exhale? I didn't agree with that. And I know some of you are thinking, it doesn't really matter. Really? Then why do they avoid it like the plague?
Well, that's how people felt in this town about the black jerseys. I remember, because those jerseys have been around for, what, 3 seasons now. And somebody referenced, you see the tweet saying, we can't wear the black jerseys, we're 1-5. And I say, what is our record in every uniform the past three years? We don't win any games. How are we dictating the uniform is the problem? We're not winning in any uniform, not the black one.
But you start reaching. That's what happens when you're losing. It starts compounded on you, and you start searching for things. You blame the uniform. Now, I'm not a fan of the black, not at all. But if they won in it, I could become a fan in it. You know, that's where I'm at. Same thing with the name. The name, whatever. They could be the polka dots. If they win, I'm wearing polka dots. I just desperately don't want to suck again for decade after decade. So they broke me down to that point. I don't want to go out that way, and I feel horrible for the people that have passed away with the memories of us being in last place, being mocked and being a laughing stock. That kills me.
In that case,
some of our most hardened fans went out with a team being a disaster.
My only hope for those people is that they were around to see the glory years, at least, because
that's cool, and that is good.
Yeah,
but you don't want a whole generation wiped out, you know, and especially for the bank robbers that came in here and ripped the city off. So there's a healing process in it. And you don't ever, now we're going to stand strong. We don't ever want to be dragged back into that swamp. Ever. And that's why now I think we are united. Hopefully, well, we're not united. We're still splintered. Hopefully, we can get closer to being united. Because we're not even 100%. That's reality. Real talk, we're not 100%. We need to get 100% so we can rekindle and create the atmosphere that this team needs to win at home. We got to get over the hump. Go to break on that one when we come back. Standing. Standing room only. The man himself, Big Ben, joins us here on Overtime. Happy Easter Sunday to you. Brother Strober, Doc Walker, here on Overtime. And now, courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, we welcome Ben Standing, no stranger. Welcome home. Benjamin, it's an honor to have you here, especially with a couple of topics that have been put on the table. You as a grizzled veteran of travel have to be the first to ask you to join us in the Mount Rushmore of sporting venues.
What is the Mount Rushmore for sporting venues?
For you, the four venues that you... And you don't have to do it immediately, but just think about it. For you, I mean, it is a menu. It has been because of your various travels and because you travel and do it for a living. It may not be like Brother Holder, who has the Palestra down, the Spectrum, Wembley Stadium, or MSG. Or your boy who has a Rose Bowl, RFK, the Fabulous Form, you know, down just to say a few. Of course, Fenway Park has been dominant, has been mentioned a lot. G from the Shop has RFK, Coalfield House, Foxborough, Berry Farms basketball courts from the Goodman League.
Well, I think you've hit on some of the ones that were for me. Like, in terms of the places I've been, you know, Fenway Park and Wrigley Field, you know, those things are, you know, from the time I was aware of sports, they were iconic, and they still go. And obviously, it's just such a unique setting. So I go with those two. And you mentioned, you know, RFK and Cole Fieldhouse. Like, they're not in existence anymore. But for me, you know, for the rest of my life, when I think about my youth and going to games, like, there was nothing like those two places. I mean, RFK, we obviously talk about a lot, and you know, we've all seen, you know, the stands move, and we know the wins that were there. Cole Fieldhouse, just, I have not been to the Palestra, I've not been to Cameron Indoor, but, you know, for me, I don't know, I can't think of a better atmosphere that I've been to for basketball than Cole Fieldhouse.
It was,
you know,
awesome.
The Terps game, yeah, I mean, the Terps
and
game, I was there.
The heat made it. You know, I'm sitting there thinking about this, and it's probably not fair to put anybody under this spot. It might be something you have to actually put in through media, through social media, because I'm still thinking about being in Poly Pavilion. I'm thinking about being in the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum.
Sure.
At night, and John McKay's final game as head coach of USC. Looking at those Olympic torches. I mean, see, there's so many. And again, the being in Green Bay, Wisconsin, first time I ever saw Lambeau Field. There's so many different things that make you, as Lou would say, make you go, to think about. This was Canadiens. All I heard about was how dominant Montreal was in hockey, and that venue, and people talked about that venue in a way that I never got to see that before. Of course, they, and a lot of these, they tore them down. If you didn't see it, you didn't see it. Like the old Garden, if you weren't in it, you weren't in it. And I just thought, I said, well, a travel grizzled veteran like Ben, I thought it would run it by you. So we did.
We started off talking about drafting
in the top five. It became our identity around here. I'm so thankful that we're at the bottom of the draft finally. Again. Because honor is picking 27th, 28th, 30th, 31st. But from your standpoint as a guy who mocks, does drafts, and predicts it, how different is it for you?
Yeah, no, it's obviously a lot more challenging to figure out Washington. I mean, not only, you know, you don't know for sure what's going to be there at 29, but this is also a particular draft where, you know, for a lot of teams, a lot of evaluators, you know, you look at pick 10 and you look at pick 40, and the difference is not that significant necessarily with the majority of the talent, which means no idea how, you know, if one team is going to view it one way and another team is going to view it another way, then we don't know, you know, which edge rushers might be there. The order could be all over the place. Same thing with receivers or cornerbacks or what have you. And that makes it challenging. And then the last part is with Washington specifically, like, sure, we can sit here and say they need more upside at edge rusher. They could probably use another outside cornerback, another, you know, more speed on offense. But they also have addressed, like, all of these areas in the offseason. Like, they could start the season today with a starting group and depth, and we wouldn't be going, all right, well, you know, they're really deficient there. And so that makes it even more complicated because, to a degree, Adam Peters can kind of go with the best player available model that he did last year with, you know, taking Johnny Newton in the second round. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot more challenging. I mean, no excuses, you know, play to win, but it is complicated. You know, the butterfly effect is always real in the draft. You know, one move by one team can all of a sudden completely alter the whole first round. And you know, it's what makes it interesting. But, yes, picking at 29 is a lot different than picking at 2 last year, that's for sure.
Yeah, I like where we are. And to think that our brethren down in Baltimore, they're at the bottom almost every year. Almost every year. They are there. Defense is something that, and Matt Jones on X says, what great defenses do, they do their jobs. So you don't get your names called, and you don't allow someone else to get the opportunity to make a name for themselves. DBs cover so the D-line can get the sacks. D-line's pressure so the DBs can get interceptions. Championship defense. And I agree with him. I mean, it's not popular. Am I wrong? But every time I hear somebody mention a wide receiver, I almost throw up in my mouth.
Yeah, no, I mean, in general, you know, independent of the individual players and you know, how a team might have some guys ranked, yeah, I think there's no question defense is where they need to go here. I mean, look, the offense last year, it was 6th in scoring. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is doing, you know, had a phenomenal year as a rookie. Logically, he should only be getting better. You know, they didn't trade for Laremy Tunsil. That's a significant upgrade at left tackle. The trade for Deebo Samuel, from an upside perspective, that's a lot more, you know, they could get a lot more there out of that spot. So the offense, like, should be, you know, has a chance to be significantly better off of a pretty good year. The defense, you know, look, they were 30th against the run last year. You know, they had issues in the secondary at times, even after the Marshon Lattimore trade. And while they've, you know, they kept pieces, you know, they kept Bobby Wagner, they added Jonathan Jones and a Dietrich Wise. Like, they haven't, you know, they didn't blow it out of the, you know, they didn't, like, go nuts in free agency. I mean, the one significant move was Javon Kinlaw. And, you know, look, they have obviously had high hopes. The guy was a former, you know, first-round pick. He's a huge player. He's been saddled by injuries earlier in his career. Showed a bit of a comeback last year. But, you know, there's a lot of questions there. I wouldn't say he was, you know, automatically like a difference maker. So, you know, they have more questions for sure on defense. And, you know, I know we all focus on this year because it's the year that's about to happen. But from the longer-term perspective, you know, they don't have any type of, you know, long-term upside play at defensive end. And that's going to be one of, you know, your most important positions for any team. You know, the one guy inside on the line who you would say has that upside, Johnny Newton, you know, we'll see. I mean, he was, you know, he got his feet wet last year, you know, he played, but, like, you know, they need to see more from him this year. You know, the linebackers, you know, Bobby Wagner did so much for this team last year, but he's also 35. And, you know, again, the secondary, Marshon Lattimore, you know, four-time Pro Bowler, he didn't look like that guy last year. So
yeah, but I think
that,
a lot. I think injuries held on to that. Ben, want to hold you over for 1 second. Got to take a quick break. We'll come back. Want to ask you about Lattimore. I think he got a bad rap. I think he took one for the team. They paid him for it, but that's my opinion. Stay with us. We'll be back with more with Ben Standing. Welcome back to Overtime. And a great appreciation goes out to Rude. Our sponsors, our guest hotline. Ben Standing is our guest. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You know, it's got to be difficult come to a new team and not be 100%. I think Lattimore played. I give him a lot of credit because I never thought he was 100%. A lot of guys have to play not being 100%, but it's no place to show up as a corner. And especially when you have a inconsistent pass rush. I believe if he's healthy, he's a flat-out dog. And it's going to help you a lot in a lot of areas. I think this guy, I love the way he plays, but he's got to be at his best to give you that output.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, look, I don't think the talent is the question. Like you said, you know, that his first game playing his former team, the Saints, New Orleans, did not throw the ball at him at all in that game. And, you know, even in the Lions playoff game, he really wasn't targeted. Teams respect the ability. The issue is the injuries, though, right? The last three seasons, he hasn't played more than 10 games in any of the three seasons. The hamstring injuries have been consistent. So, you know, until we know for sure that he's going to be able to go, and then, you know, he also, when he was playing last year, you know, Tampa Bay picked on him with Mike Evans. The Eagles did the same with A.J. Brown. So, look, cornerback is an incredibly challenging position. You know, the rules all favor the offense. Talented quarterbacks, receivers, all these kinds of things. And like you said, specifically here last year, inconsistent pass rush was a thing without question. But, you know, how do you definitively trust that Lattimore is going to be healthy? I mean, I'm not there with the training staff, so I don't know what's going on, but, you know, that has to be a real question. And that's why, like, in terms of the draft, like if they draft a cornerback in the first or second round, like, that's not going to surprise me at all. In fact, I would argue it's, you know, a pretty wise investment for a lot of reasons. And, look, they made the move. They obviously have to hope that he's able to rebound and show off the abilities on a consistent basis, but, you know, based on the last 3 years, you know, you're going to take that bet and not, you know, not do anything to hedge just in case.
I think every player that they evaluate that meets their criteria, they should take them, regardless of who you have. I think it's all predicated on, do we have somebody that we think is unique? Is this person, does he fit what we're looking for? I don't think you ever judge that based on who you have. Period. It's not personal. It's how we're getting better. Especially if a guy doesn't play 16 games, 17 games a year.
Yeah,
because
then
you get trapped. You got to get the best people you can get your hands on, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That's why Philly has an edge. They have an edge because they can show you that flat out, they're just better than you. Of the 11 positions, they're going to outflank you on 7 of them.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I think you're, you know, to use the Philly point, you know, they had waves of guys on the defensive line in particular, and that overwhelmed, you know, pretty much everybody in the playoffs. Obviously, we saw what they did to Kansas City in the Super Bowl. But for Washington specifically, you know, again, obviously they're coming off an amazing season, the NFC Championship game. But the reality is this is still a team that is only in its second year with this new regime that had a big, you know, that new regime arrived with a big talent deficiency because of so many poor drafts and decisions before they arrived. They had the one draft last year. Obviously, you got Jaden Daniels, huge deal. You got Mikey Sanders still, and then we'll see about everybody else. But you still need to get younger. This was one of the older teams in the league last year, and they brought in a lot of vets to help the culture, to raise the floor, which they clearly did, and that was a good move. But they also have a ton of guys on, you know, on 1 year contracts still, right? So that means that come next offseason, you're going to be looking for new pieces again, and you can keep playing the same game of re-signing guys, but, you know, to 1 year deals. But ultimately, you want to have a core. You want to have a group that you go like, hey, this is who we are. This is what our team is. This is, you know, we build around this, and that comes typically through the draft. And yeah, you've got to have, they've got to be able to get guys at some of these. Again, I agree with you. It could be almost anywhere because of the fact that they have done a good job of, you know, covering up some concerns or addressing some concerns in free agency to some degree. But, you know, longer term, you know, you have Jaden, you have Sanders still, you know, you hopefully have Johnny Newton, you know, I got some older guys, obviously, in McLaurin and now Tunsil and some others, but you need younger guys to really build this thing up. And that's where the draft is so important. So yeah, they could take almost anything except for quarterback and it wouldn't floor me. So that's a good thing. They can just go off of the talent. But on the other hand, you know, there are some areas that they obviously have got to get some more help at.
Well, I understand that. When people say best player available, and I get that, I never all the way buy into it. I think it's the hardest thing to do, especially if you have specific needs that have to be met that makes your team better. Because now you're hunted. You are the hunted. And I think that's where you want to be. Because all good teams are hunted. You can't sneak up on anybody else. But if you had to have one position of concern, what is that for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably edge rusher. You know, they've got a couple solid vets, you know, Dietrich Wise. And hopefully they, you know, I imagine they believe he's going to be a better two-way player for, or, you know, a pass rusher combined with a run stopper than they got last year. Out of some of their options, Dorrance Armstrong is a solid piece, but, you know, not a ton of upside there. They need more consistency in that pass rush. You know, also, look, I mean, you know, I understand why they moved on from Jonathan Allen and no knock, but he was, you know, probably their best interior pass rusher. You know, Daron Payne is, other than like the 1 year, he's typically been more of the run stopper type. So they definitely need to get more of a pass rush to make everything a little bit easier. And, you know, it wouldn't even stun me, you know, if you said, hey, they're going to take two defensive ends with their first three picks, I'd be like, cool, go ahead. I mean, that's an area that, you know, similar to offensive line on the offense, where it's not just about that position. It improves everything else. If you have a pass rush, it makes everybody else's job a lot easier. If you don't, well, good luck covering receivers for, you know, 5 to 7 seconds, you know. So I think that's a spot to me. If you had to pick one, that I would say they got to get some more help at.
Couldn't agree with you more. My brother, thank you so much, man. You're a big time baller, and we thank you for you sharing that skills with us. And I know it's very special for you and all the mock drafts and the things that you do. But, you know, ease up on Sheehan a little bit, man. Give him the mock schedule so he can have that.
Oh, I don't mess with the mock schedule, King. No doubt about it. Yeah, that's the next highlight. We get past this draft, then we get to the real fun.
Absolutely. Brother Standick, we appreciate what you bring to the audience, man. Thank you so much for your service.
Doc, always appreciate it, man. Thanks.
That is Ben Standick, the one and only from The Athletic. He gets the job done like nobody's business. We charge, and we get to your calls. And 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's light it up. .1201 in the nation's capital. Happy Easter. DOC, Ben Strober here on DMGM National Listener Line, 1-800-636-1067. And it's been awesome. It really is. We've been getting a lot of activity on X and always free on the Odyssey app. And I know if you're not taking advantage of that, boy, are you really on the outside looking in. We encourage you to follow us there, as our good friend and fellow canine Toothpick has been doing for quite a long time. Pick, happy Easter. How are you?
Happy Easter, Doc. Listen, hey Doc, I appreciate what you have on, you know, your guests. And, I mean, you really do educate us all the way around, and I do appreciate it. Doc, I do... I do like to debate, and I'm hoping you'll give me a little runway here, because I got some questions, right? I know that, you know, JD5 is real important to us, right? And yep. you have to protect your players from themselves in ways, right? Well, JD5 is our quarterback. He leads us in passing, right? He's our team leader, and our team goes as he goes, right? But he also was our leading rusher. And D-Rob has not completed a season since he's been here as a Commander. Eckler, our number two running back, has had concussion problems, right?
Yes.
And then C-Rob, you haven't really trusted him to take some carries away from those guys. Why not address the running back position since we do have a good running back draft here, to take some carries away from B-Rob, to alleviate our quarterback being our leading rusher, and to rest the defense to keep them off the field? That one position does help all three phases. It will indeed help the wide receiver run too, because then if you do get the right running back, you have to commit another person to the box to stop them. How is this so hard to see for some of our fans? I do understand we have to address the edge. I understand that part. But you cannot have your quarterback being your leading rusher. You just can't have it. He won't survive a season.
You get no argument out of me. How about you, Ben?
I agree. I mean, we need to run the ball.
No, I'm not arguing. I believe in ball control by any means possible. I'd prefer that if my quarterback, who weighs, 200 pounds, dripping wet, was not my leading ball carrier. I agree with you. But, again, that's why. See, I have not lost one wink of sleep over what we're doing because we have a man in charge that I trust.
Yes. Yes.
And a staff that I trust. I no longer have to do that. They got that covered. Yep. They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they would end up damaging their prize bull. They're not going to do that. I think they are on the same page you are on. But they're not going to show their hand. They're going to wait and see who wants that 29th pick. And if they don't want it, I think they'll utilize it. I'm with you, though. We're on the same page. The only difference is I'm not worried. I no longer lose a wink of sleep over it.
Yeah, I agree, Doc. For once, I do say, Adam, we trust, and I really do believe it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what we do in the later rounds because
there you go.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens there because I think that's where he's going to make a lot of his money this year.
Yep.
And so I'm not worried about 1 and 2. I'm worried about later on in the draft.
Me too. I'm an UFA guy. I don't even really get excited about it until undrafted free agents. I want some people coming in here bringing a lunch pail, not bringing an AMX black card. I've been through that.
Yes, sir.
I need some cats coming here hungry. See, so I'm not scared of the last people drafted and free agents because I've been locker next to too many guys like that that won championships with. The draft is for spectators. And if you get picked high, then God bless you. But there's just too many misses for me to hang my hat on. Give my best to the First Lady, man. Happy Easter. Let's go to Adam. Adam.
Doc.
Welcome to Overtime.
Doc, thanks so much for taking the call. Love this Ben guy that you got with you. He's been awesome. You know, this draft has got me thinking just how incredible it would be if our city could get one of these drafts in the future. Doc, have you thought at all about the draft like they did it in Philly the other year, maybe on the National Mall, on the Capitol? We have to get this into our city. I mean, this is such a massive spectacle. I feel like we need it in D.C. soon.
I think you're next. To be honest, I think you're next. You weren't going to get in over Lambeau, but I think you're next.
I mean, it's got to be.
Can you imagine
in front of the Capitol?
I think you're next.
It would be beautiful.
Yeah, I think you're next. They finally gotten to the point now where you're not an embarrassment. And I think it would be, you think you're next. I honestly do. If Detroit could get it, and they've not earned it and proved worthy, I think we're next.
Doc, we got to point something out to the audience here with Adam.
He's an Orangeman.
He is an Orangeman. You are speaking to a superstar right here. 20 years old, young up-and-comer, and he's been around the DMV parts. He knows exactly what I felt My whole life as a Commanders fan. He knows what it's like in this city, and him and I, we're the two most jazzed up people probably our age in the entire DMV. I'll put money on that.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I can hear the orange in his voice.
Oh, yeah. The orange.
I love them. Syracuse people, you know, because that's the thing about it, man. When you feel good about who you represent, then you wear it on your sleeve. You're proud of it.
Oh. Oh, it's unbelievable. We just had Bob Costas up here the other week, the great God Abraham is an Orangeman. There's mm-hmm. orange everywhere.
Yeah. No, you have no doubt about it, man. And I love it. I love it when people take pride in a legacy and then not being the F up. You don't want to be the one that breaks the streak. You want to maintain
never.
By level of efficiency.
Doc, we've got a great Syracuse running back who I think the Commanders have to look after. Top receiving running back in the draft, Quinn Allen. Maybe a fourth round pick. I don't think he's talked about enough, but he is an absolute monster.
Well, this is where our staff gobbles it up. This is where, and trust in AP is what he's shown to be absolutely awesome with. So, you know, the thing about it, for so many years here, we've worried about what would happen because we've been surrounded by incompetence. And we had all these con men filling in slots, bank robbers. Now it's just, you sleep easy at night because you don't have to worry about it because they'll make the deal. In the draft, you know, you just got to find people hungry. That's why I'm a second day guy. I love it when the people who are pissed that they didn't get selected, and they want to prove it. I want a guy with a chip on his shoulder, somebody with something to prove. The guys I'm not interested in are the guys that break all the records at the combine. And then you look at the game film, and you got to ask, what number is he wearing? I can't find him. But when it comes to the combine, and Brian Mitchell, he coined the underwear Olympics. I just can't get over that. But he's right. But we jump on it because we're starving for data. We're starving for content. You know, we got 500,000 podcasts. We got 100,000 shows. And so we're all vampires when it comes to this. And so if a guy runs 4.3, oh, my God. How many yards does he have? 5. But we don't care. We got to swallow it up, slurp it up, and go running around. Mamuka, I think his name was Mike Mamuka. I couldn't be wrong. Philadelphia picked. You know, he was a warrior. Workout warrior. It was terrible. Can't go off the Olympics. Game film has got to rule. Is Charlie back with us?
Hello.
Hey, Charlie.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Doctor, it's always good to talk with you. Happy Easter. Happy Easter to your family, and may we all have peace in our lives.
Amen.
I know you don't
want to
get into politics, so I won't elaborate any further.
Amen.
Just wanted to say hello and happy Easter. Peace to us all, and I know I live in the past too much, but it will never be entertainment for me. I come somewhat from the same place as maybe you do, and that fire is still there, and I need to get over that, I know. But you know what? None of it's entertainment. The Caps, the Wizards, the Nationals, and especially the Burgundy and Gold. I don't care about any. I don't care about the draft. I know that's part of it, but you know what? To me, it's all window dressing until they blow that whistle and you kick off. And in all due respect to Toothpick, I know he's one of your dogs. He, like a lot of people, yeah, we need a running back. Well, maybe, but you know what? I thought we had 4 good running backs. How about some big uglies? How about some injury-free for maybe 10, 12 games? Nobody goes anywhere without the big uglies up front. Doc, take care, man. I'll talk to you.
You got it, Charlie. Love you, man. He's authentic. Authentic to the type. You know, it's the one thing I love about it as we get ready to watch the Capitals tomorrow night. You know what's so authentic about hockey? Whether you learn, whether you understand all of it about, is that everybody is clear that no matter what you've done in the regular season, when it comes to this time, when you're playing for the cup, that person in net is as valuable as a Sandy Koufax on the mound or Bob Gibson on the mound.
I think I know what we need to talk about next, Doc.
Yeah. The gentleman between the pipes controls everything. And we're hopeful that the Capitals have gotten their manure together to get on a run. And that's definitely what we're talking about when we return to overtime. /12:18 in the nation's capital. Here on an Easter Sunday, excuse me, Doc Walker, on a hot microphone. Brother Strober has been, he's been worthy of a fun bunch high five. Covered some NBA, of course, the NFL, college football, the Heisman Trophy winner, reluctance to be a pro unless he can do it his way. And we got a war about to start tomorrow when that puck drops. And as much fanfare that has surrounded the great eight, Alex Ovechkin, as he went up and snatched Gretzky from the number one scorer in points. Now, team-wise, is this team ready to be better than it's been the past 5 years when it comes down to playoff time? And I think, Brother Strober, that that's where we are right now. Kevin.
Happy Easter, Doc.
How are you, my brother?
I'm doing well.
But I'm confused. I need your help. Because I need to know how we flipped the script.
So I don't want to focus on 8 losses in the last 12 games, which is something we didn't do all year, other than to say, and this may be controversial, and I love Alex Ovechkin, that goal chase was a terrible distraction that got them away from their defensive structure and how they play as a team. It happened. He got the goal record. Great. And as he said, it's now mojo time. It's now beast mode time. So here we go. What I'd rather focus on, and not enough people are, is this playoff that starts tomorrow will represent the 34th time in the last 42 years, the Capitals have made the playoffs. Think of that. The only other team in the NHL, and we're tied to do that, were the Boston Bruins. But here's the deal. The postseason is a game called goalie. And unfortunately, even with that storied Caps half century of play, we've gotten goalie twice. We got it when the goalie took us to the Cup Finals. And we got it when Braden Holtby, after his reset, got hot. And we won in 18. This will all be about whether we stay and compete past the first round or not, about goalie. And unfortunately, you know, both of them got paid. And as soon as Logan got paid, his play fell off and he got hurt. So there's a lot of questions. But I just believe in the unity of this team, the unity of the coaching staff. And I kind of love it. They're like the 82 Redskins, really, going into this postseason with the great record, the Rodney Dangerfields. Nobody respects them. And you know what? Right. I'd rather be in the weeds, everybody looking past us, what have you. Good news that Logan is skating and practicing. He's got something to prove. Charlie was money down the stretch a year ago. I love him as our number two goalie. And the only other thing I'd like to add is Alexi Protas and Tom Wilson are our best 5-on-5 players because they're 200-foot players. They play offense and defense. They score and they defend. And we've really, really missed Protas in the last few games, and we got to get him back. And I was encouraged here. He skated this morning because we need him back. This Montreal team is no joke. They're very talented. They're coming. They're going to be a great team in this conference, but they're puppies. And so we need to be the veteran team we are. We actually are a beautiful mix of veterans and young players and take care of business. And we'll just see how it goes. That's kind of where I'm at going into tomorrow.
But what is scarier to you than a hot netminder and young puppies who are aggressive?
Well, it's very scary.
This is what Koken and the boys have taught me, that what would you want? You want a guy between the pipes that's on fire and people that are fearless, that as they have always taught me, to get in that crease and just muck things up.
Well, here's the good news. We're not facing Jet Greaves in the Jackets, because Greaves is, a lot of people feel he's going to be the next great goalie, okay? He was phenomenal down the stretch, completely stoned us last weekend. Okay, we're not playing that guy. We're playing a decent goalie, but he's not an all-world goalie, okay?
Okay.
We won't face an all-world goalie, because if we win, and I'm assuming Carolina's going to win, they don't have an all-world goalie either. We will face one if we get as far as the Eastern Conference Finals, and we'll deal with that then. Right now, our goalies have to be what they were all year for us, which was Steady Eddie. And it's a lot to hope for, but they showed they can do it, and they had some time off, and that's going to determine how far we go. It always does, Doc. We would have won more cups already had we been stout in net all the time, and we haven't been. But we were this season, and I think we can be again in the postseason. We'll just have to see.
Kevin, you're priceless, man. Appreciate that. Rock the red. And,
rock the red, baby.
Can't wait to talk to you next week,
hey,
man.
Hey, can I,
go Cavs.
Doc, can I just ask one real quick football question? Because
sure.
I originally called it about the draft. So to me, what I want, and you talk about day two guys, I'm totally with you. I want the next day two Charles Mann. Because when I look at this team since the last Super Bowl winner, what we have not had is a Charles Mann at defensive end who will hit the OT in the mouth, who will hit the running back in the mouth. He is a two-way, beautiful defensive end. He really was all his career. And the last guy we've had who's been a stud at defensive end since Charles played was Phil Daniels. And he was more of simply that, an edge center. We need that. I keep hearing all this talk, love Ben Standing. Everybody keeps saying, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. Sure we do. That'd be nice. We got to set the edge. Because I don't remember if you remember, but the first play of the NFC Championship game, we didn't set the edge, and Barkley went to the house. And
yeah.
Barkley was going to the house a lot against us last year.
Thanks for
we
reminding me of that.
We got to stop the run, and we need a stud defensive end to do that.
That was not a good memory. Thank you for
that. No, it wasn't. I'm sorry. Happy Easter, though, man.
You got it, man. That was awesome. Good deal. Good deal. Brother Strobel, we got a shot to get G in?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. G from the shop. Happy Easter, brother.
Happy Easter. I wanted to call about the hockey. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know nothing about no hockey, Doc. You know.
Yes,
man,
you
telling
do.
People stand
you know,
on their
you
head,
know sports,
man.
Man. You know winning.
Tell them stand on their head, Doc. Man, my man that just called just gave us all the good hockey insight, man.
Yeah, he's excellent.
Hey, Doc, I just called, man, because I just talked to Paulie. I was asking him about his top Mount Rushmore sports venues. And the first venue he said he visited was Yankee Stadium, was at the top of his list. I just want to visit Yankee Stadium in Dallas Stadium just to take a dump right in front of the entrance, man. So everybody got to walk around it, man. I sent you my Mount Rushmore, Doc. I got to get ready for G game, man. He holding Tyler hostage, man. He got three possible games, and it could be one if he stinks the gym up. So hopefully he don't stink the gym up.
But he won't do that, man. He represents the bloodline.
Man, I love you, Doc. Happy Easter,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate you, man. Happy Easter.
You know
G
it.
From the shop. Well, that's good, man. I feel relieved in that whenever you discuss that puck, it's never changed. It's always the same. One man having a responsibility, unlike any other sport, even more so than pitching in baseball.
Mm.
When it comes down to it, you having that responsibility to be different and to be that dude.
Yeah, it's because it's more one guy necessarily. Because if you draw parallels between 2018, 2019, you get a Capitals Stanley Cup, a Nationals World Series, and you know, the two most important things, arguably, in the respective sports for a deep playoff run, you have the goaltending play of Braden Holtby, who stood on his head the entire postseason en route to the Cup, and then the Nationals starting pitching. You got Steven Strasburg goes 5-0 in the postseason. So kind of draw those parallels. If we want another championship here in D.C., we need Thompson or Lindgren. Somebody's got to step up in that between those pipes.
Yeah, it is. And then, you know, he mentioned, I don't think Obi was a distraction as much. I think the encouragement, because of the love they had for him, and because he's not just a goal scorer, he's more than that. He enforces, he generates, he does more than just score goals, but it did drain the organization. And interesting perspective, though. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll continue to deal with this. Because why? Because we're in the mix. We're in it, and that's the beautiful part about it. We're not talking about next season. We're talking about chasing the cup. Stay with us. Boy, it was so awesome to have G from the shop. Shout out to all of you on the on X. You've been amazing today in the input, and we've been packed. So, but Matt Jones, you made it very, very clear that it's about getting stops and allowing our offense to get back on the field. And he's right about that. Defense is what it's all about. I know it's not easy for us to accept that the Eagles did something right, but don't be afraid to applaud people who figure it out and do it the simple way. They just beat you up. They beat you on by personnel, not being fancy. They just strictly overpower you. So if you can do it that way, do it. But if you can't do it that way, you got to do it another way. One of the best reads I had this morning was Travis Wigfall, who says, no disrespect to the younger Washington fans. I'm 47, and from 14 to 46, all I know is below average Washington football as an adult, so I need you to feel sorry for me too. LOL. Boy, our base, man. Our base is, and our guy Little says, legend, I was 12 years old in 1972, Super Bowl VII, LA Coliseum. Skins, Dolphins, most famous venue. Man, that Coliseum. Seeing that torch, I agree, man. It's a lot. We've got some history, man. We've got some history. And that's the beautiful thing about it. But creating a new venue, and that's where we started, man. We started talking about the RFK News and what that might represent. And also, for the first time, now maybe someone can enlighten me, that I've heard a player. Now, you said, maybe you were someone, maybe it was Lou. Someone felt like it was a bluff. I don't necessarily see Travis Hunter bluffing. I don't know what the bluff would be for, but I just never heard of anyone threatening an employer that if you don't play me both ways, then I will retire. I'll quit.
I think, Lou, what he said, I don't think he's saying necessarily it's a bluff. He's just... You know, he's just saying he's full of it. He's not actually going to retire, which I guess in that sense, it means he kind of is bluffing. But it's interesting to think about what is his motive, you know, to make statements like that. It's a marketing thing, obviously.
Man, Deion Sanders way too much to say something reckless without understanding the consequences. Deion is a very high IQ individual. I tell you, it's one of the things that really has me almost, I almost have a headache over it, because he seems too intelligent to say something so crazy. And then to have RG3 jump on the bandwagon about it, which reminded me, it scared the hell out of me. It was almost like the kiss of death. He co-signs on it. And I go, are we talking about ending a career before it actually starts?
So I didn't see RG3's comment. Did he say that Hunter should retire if he does not play both ways?
Well, he co-signed and agreed with him in a way that would, again, as he does, puts him in the mm-hmm. spotlight in the conversation.
I get the sense, though, Doc, from Mr. RG3 that he often comments on things and creates these opinions to his audience that he doesn't necessarily even believe himself.
Well, yeah, and that's not a high character mark for him.
Mm-hmm.
I just know not everything. I understand some companies, they call it clickbait. And again, as a guy closer to 100 than he'd like to admit, I don't usually pay a lot of attention to what young people do anymore because I understand it's for show and tell, and I understand what they're trying to do. But I have to admit, and why wouldn't I be? This is the beauty about this format. Why wouldn't you be honest? I don't have to be perfect at this. I have to be honest with you. When I say the guy blew me away going, dude, you're about to embark on opening up a multi-million dollar of opportunities, and you'll get the chance to go both ways. But when you make a statement that if you don't allow me to not come off the field, I will retire. You got to be out of your mind or on drugs. That's exactly what I start to think. And then Deion says, no, it'll be easier because there's, you know, more tempo. He can definitely do it. He can play both ways. So you're going to come now to an experienced coach, or you're going to go to an inexperienced coach. So you're going to tell a coach how to play you. So now you're a player coach too? You're going to go both ways and be a player coach? Now, is that something that I want? And you know, if you come go to a team early, you go into a dysfunctional organization. So maybe it will work because you're going to a group that's cocoa for cocoa puffs because they're nuts. That's the problem.
If it's Cleveland, then that's all you need to hear.
But they can't. They just went through Foster, Deshaun. Now you got to go through this? I don't know why this just blew me away. When a headline says that individual warns he may quit football if NFL doesn't honor his demand. Now, in the old days, you could say, dude, you broke. He ain't broke. NIL. He's coming out of Colorado. They make sure you see all the jewelry they wear, so they're not broke.
Oh, he's got money.
He's got some money. He's leveraging having a fortune. And he's telling the boss he's holding them hostage. So, you don't play me both ways, I might retire? Are you willing to forfeit all this? What would you do as a GM now? How would you structure his contract? Are you going to let this guy walk you into a way that he can walk away and keep your money and not perform? I'm just overreacting to this.
You're not, though.
Maybe took the bait.
But Lou brought up the point that he is so good in coverage. He takes away one side of the field. That's why he's worth being drafted number two overall, even if you don't have him going both ways.
He took away one half of the field in college.
That's a good point.
He ain't faced John Jefferson and them boys up there. He was in Colorado. And they had a night. They were nice. This was not Alabama, wasn't Ohio State, wasn't Michigan. At some point, we got to say, you know what? Dude, you got game. You nice. I like you. Now go prove it at this level. Do it and then come back. Do a short-term deal and then hold out for ownership then if you're that kind of a badass.
I'd say just let him do it in training camp, and if he proves that he can do it there, then they'll put him in that spot. But if he can't,
giving you that right. He's telling you, he's warning you, he will quit. And he's going to one of the most dysfunctional groups. Whoever the top people are, they crazy anyway. Now you're adding that to this. This scares the dickens out of me. This changes everything about. Would you take him?
No, but aren't we glad that we're not in this spot? We don't have to worry about this kind of thing.
No. I'm thrilled. But I like the kid. He is a freak. He's a quick twitch. I'm selfish because I want to see him play. I love his skill set. And I can see him playing both ways. No, I never doubted him playing both ways. But he's saying, no, you can't take me out of the game. I think that's crazy. Tell me I'm wrong. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Back after the break. I have to remind myself here on Easter Sunday, I'll have to lower the decimal just a little bit, but it doesn't mean you have to. CJ in the District of Columbia, welcome to Overtime.
What's up, Doc?
You know what time
man,
it is.
Man, let me tell you something, man. You hit it so hard on the nose when you had to reemphasize everything that kid has done. He did it in college. There's no way you're going to come into anybody's profession where they bring you in and putting dollars in your pocket and dictate, this is what I'm going to do before you prove it. It makes no sense. And I think for Prime to have done that or even put his stamp on that really degrades the situation even more. And it makes it, I think it ultimately hurts Shador as well, you know, because Prime sees the punishment that Shador is getting as a reflection of him, but you're showing them through Travis what they might have to deal with. You know, I don't want to deal with that. If I'm an owner, I don't want to deal with that. It's too much of a headache. And then, like you say, you come into a possible losing franchise, and then halfway through the season, you're not liking what's going on. I got worried about you going upstairs and trying to get Prime as a coach. It's just too much to me. And I, if it was me and I was in that space, I would pass. But I would like the Giants to draft Shador because I don't think he's going to pan out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I actually think he's going to be pretty good. I think he's got the best training of any NFL quarterback you could get because he'd been getting his behind whipped in college with an awful line and the lead, and it's going to be as close to the pro picture as you can imagine. And I just think the kid's got great poise. I like him a lot. I do. I don't have a problem with him. I like Travis. I just don't think any new employee should come in dictating policy.
Yeah, I think Shador has a lot of talent, but I just don't. I don't see this year's quarterback class anywhere near the level of last year, and I don't see with him just being that franchise changing guy. I just don't see it. I look at
the I can understand that. I can understand that. You know, I don't see a JD5 in this group.
Yeah, ain't no JD5
in this group, and that's cool. Appreciate you calling, man. Damascus is our next stop. Christopher, happy Easter.
Happy Easter there, brothers and fellas. How you doing? Good. Doing good. Can you got me all right?
Loud and clear, Chris. What's on your mind?
Hey, who was the basketball player? And I'm pretty good at remembering names and all this old stuff, but the basketball player said, if I ain't starting, I'm departing. Well, I want to say Richardson or something. Remember that one?
I don't remember.
If I'm not starting, I'm departing. I was some basketball player. But Travis will be all right. And like you're saying, Dion knows what he's doing, coaching him up, getting him ready for the big time, you know. And Travis is a talent, so we'll see. There's, a lot of talk, and good luck to the young man, and I'm sure he'll succeed. But that's something I wouldn't have said. You never want to say the word quit at any time.
I'm not sure of anything with him other than I know that on the field, he's a bad man. I love his skill set. I think he's made some catches that I had no idea were possible. I think he's gifted in both respects, but the question is, if I can't coach it, can't deal with you. Chris, enjoy the rest of your day.
All right.
Finally, we're
going
to wrap up going
to
757 to that luxury liner. Paulie, welcome home.
Doc, how you doing, man? Hail to the W.
Hail to the W, brother. It's been very interesting Very interesting Sunday.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Hey, man, you know what I mean? There's duality to this conversation, man. Like, I understand where Travis Hunter's coming from because I understand these kids these days, man. He's an NIL baby. He's already getting money. You're not dangling a carrot in front of you, in front of him. And he's also telling you what his passion is. And I respect his passion to want to play. Yeah. And he's doing it before he actually goes to a team. Now, remember, to start the season, Deion already said that he was going to have a hand in both of his players and where they played at. You know, and to me, this is that same type of situation where he's letting you know that, hey, whoever wants me, just know that, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to play both ways. You know, I want to be on both sides of the ball. You know what I mean? Pause. But, yeah, I don't really have a problem with him feeling like that. And like I said, you know, what's his motivation? What's the leverage another the teams have on him? He's already getting money. He's already a millionaire. You know, so this the new age, man. Just like we see the new age in college and NIL, you start to see the new age with these kids, these NIL babies coming into the draft, especially the guys who had a name in college. You know, so this is how it is, in my opinion, man.
The thing you said that will resonate with me all day. He's not broke. He's not coming into the draft like a lot of the rest of us and people did. He probably hadn't had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in 10 years. So you make a valid point. I have got to acclimate myself to this new brand of student athlete, and appreciate you being a part of it, man. Hope all is well in the 757. None but love for you.
Happy Easter, Doc. Happy 420, Happy man. Here to the W.
Good deal. Hey, man, in one day you get 757 and G from the shop. I mean, all it would have, that's just hard. I almost said something really crazy, man, in thinking that could have gotten the trifecta, but he's a dad now, and it's kind of changed his groove. He's maturing.
Doc, I got an answer for our pal Chris in Damascus about what he brought up. It's actually attributed to baseball player Gary Templeton. He refused to play in the 1979 All-Star Game. But what the truth to the story is that Jack Buck actually coined that term for him because Templeton was refusing to play because they made him a reserve in the All-Star Game instead of a starter.
You know that I grew up with him?
With Jack?
He was my shortstop at Sunset Little League.
With Templeton?
Gary Templeton.
That's incredible.
He was the most athletic human being I grew up with. You know, everybody has the best athlete that you grew up with. You just said it, Gary Templeton. Call him Toothpick. He had Toothpick in his mouth all the time. Couldn't strike him out. Well, neither could they do in the bigs either. I mean, he had 100 on each side, right and left, switch hitter. Had him on the show last year. He came on in the beginning of baseball season.
Wow.
And, great guy. His father, I played father coach Little League, Sunset Little League, the Dodgers that I was on. And, it's amazing. Small world. Boy, what a great time to hit that part. Shout out to Santa Ana, California, Sunset Little League. My mom ran that, worked that snack bar for 30 years. It's unbelievable. Well, Lynnell Willingham, the big fella. It's coming up on Infinity, and you're not going to want to miss him today because I know he's going to be pumped up. You know why? Because he's always fired up.